Come summer weekends and many Americans head for the hills. Our valleys, rivers, ponds, and small towns buzzing with fireflies. It's not just vacation, but directed migration for a couple of days intended to refresh our lungs and spirits. And the idea is apparently ancient. We always look forward to speaking with Elaine Fantham, our classics commentator here on Weekend Edition. She's professor emerita at Princeton and joins us now from her home in Toronto. Elaine, good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Scott. It's good to hear you again.
I'm interested in the conditions of cities during the summer because there are those of us who don't go someplace rustic and bucolic who love the way everybody else does because it empties the city so we can enjoy it.
Isn't it nice? Yes.
Was there not a poem that Horace had about Rome in the summer?
Yes, there are a couple, actually. There's one where Maecenas is still sticking around in Rome dealing with business of state, and Horace says, "Leave the smoke and the enormous racket and din and the wealth of Rome and come to the country." Oh. People had malarial fevers, which we have more or less expelled from our part of the world. We know that the goddess Fever was particularly active in August and early September, and that's one of the things that Horace mentions. Maecenas once asked him to come back to Rome in the summer, and Horace said, "I'm sorry, I know I owe you everything, but I'm not prepared to come back when the goddess of undertaking is so very active."
Was the idea always that the city was teeming, and even in those days, a good deal hotter? But was there also some spiritual element to it that somehow, even in ancient Rome, you were getting closer to the elements?
There's a general sense when a Roman is writing that he only feels entitled to do something for fun when he's in his villa. If he's in the city, then he should be seeing clients and advising them on their lawsuits, and he should be lobbying to pass this and that proposal in the Senate. He should be, you know, occupied with manly things. And the whole question of leaving the sweltering city, of course, was contingent on your level of wealth. And the people that we know most about were the people who were rich enough to go to one of their other homes. For instance, Cicero, though he often had lots of debts, had 8 different villas. He had one in the hills of Tusculum, where the Pope's summer residence is, in Castel Gandolfo. The Pope knows a good thing when he sees it. And he had a villa at Puteoli on the Bay of Naples, which was the place to go.
This reminds me a little bit of all those famous people and celebrities and people of means, I gather, in Martha's Vineyard in Nantucket.
I've been trying to think, Newport, Rhode Island, Cape Cod, what would be the equivalent? It was the really chic place to go for your luxury villas on the shore.
May I ask, Elaine, do you have any plans to get away yourself?
Well, I've just, in one sense, got away, of course, in moving from New Jersey, which I'm quite fond of, despite the climate, to Toronto. But because I've just moved, I'm not going away until late September, when I've got a conference in a place in the far northeast of Italy called Cividale. And I'm rather looking forward to that. Apparently, it's a beautiful, small and beautiful city. And in a way, when somebody says to me, holidays, I think Italy.
Oh, my. Well, that's a nice reflex to have, isn't it?
Expensive.
Well, that too. Elaine, thank you very much. Have a good rest of the summer. We'll speak with you soon.
Thank you, Scott. Goodbye.
God bless. All right. Our classics commentator, Elaine Fantham, is a professor emerita at Princeton, speaking to us from her home in Toronto.